Let's take our Bibles and turn in them to Psalm 37, beginning at verse 1. It's found on page 591 in the Pew Bibles, Psalm 37. Begin reading at verse 1, Psalm 37. Congregation, hear now the very words of God, of David. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Let us turn in the New Testament to Luke 2, beginning at verse 33, page 1091, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We'll read verses 33 through 40. Our text, though, verses 36 through 38. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Congregation, how do you do with waiting when you have to wait? Sometimes it can be difficult for us, can't it? Think of a young couple gets engaged, but then they wait months before the wedding day arrives. Yet when it arrives, the joy that they experience, it almost causes them to forget the wait. Think of the birth of a child. Same there. From our passage this morning, God does something even better. After thousands of years have passed since God first promised a Redeemer, a Savior for sinful man, He has come. And the Redeemer reveals Himself to patient saints. Well, it's the same for you and me today as I proclaim to you that the Redeemer reveals himself to patient saints. First, we consider from verses 36 and the first part of 37, waiting long, waiting long. Now, this week we focus on the second event that happens while Joseph and Mary are presenting Jesus to the Lord at the temple in Jerusalem. The first event was Simeon, a righteous and devout man. We read that. Praised God for showing him God's salvation. Again, this event most likely occurs about 40 days after the birth of Jesus, before the Magi come from the east. We'll come to them, Lord willing, next time, the Magi. But right now we come here, and our passage occurs immediately after Simeon praised God. So we read in verse 38, Anna came up at that very hour. And as with Simeon, so with Anna. We do not find a temple priest. We do not find a Pharisee coming up to Joseph and Mary. Those are people we would expect, or at least at that time, expect to be welcoming the Messiah. It was Anna, a prophetess. Now, children, you think, as you're learning the books of the Bible, you don't remember a book called Anna, do you? Well, even though she was a prophetess, none of her prophecies have been preserved for us. God did not see fit to have them written down for us. Yet she was God's servant, placed at this particular time in history to bear witness to the coming of the Messiah. Anna is a prophetess, very rare in those days. Now, being a prophetess meant that she received revelation from God. This is similar to Simeon, except Simeon was not called a prophet. From this, it appears Simeon's revelation from God was personal, intended for him. But Anna was a prophetess for God's people. She was to speak to the people the revelations God gave her, speak to the old covenant church. Notice again from what we read, and we've read this passage a few times now over the past few weeks, we are not told if Simeon told anyone else about what he had seen. But Anna did. We read, Anna began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, all who longed to hear. Now, before we move on, we should mention this passage does not teach that because Anna was a prophetess, women today may be in the office of minister, elder, or deacon in the church. The office of prophet, of prophetess, of one who was inspired by God, ceased shortly after the new covenant church was established. Certainly once the Bible was completed. The offices of minister, elder, and deacon, they utilized the written word of God. Not God speaking directly to me or to the elders or the deacons. In this sense, the office of prophet has ceased in the church. Now, the office continues in the church in the sense that we are to tell others from the Bible about Christ. We are not to keep it to ourselves. In that sense, that office, that work continues, but not formally. But back here, there was. Anna was a prophetess. We are told that. Now, that also means that she was told by God about the Messiah, as all prophets were. Young people, as you read through the Old Testament, every prophet, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, so forth, they prophesied about Jesus. As you read through these prophets' writings, keep that in mind and find out what they are saying about Jesus. Sometimes it's easier to detect than others, to see than others, but they are all pointing to Jesus. It's the same with Anna, this prophetess. Her prophecies were to be told to the people to point them to the Messiah. Now, we're not told when Anna became a prophetess. We are told something about her age at the time of this event. Now, there's some uncertainty regarding what Luke actually meant with what he wrote. If you have your Bibles open, you can see that. Now, our translation presents it, verse 36 and 37. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. But if you look at the footnote, it could be, and then as a widow for 84 years. Either way is a valid translation. Now that would make her at least about 105 years old if she married young. Now that would be very advanced indeed, as Luke said in verse 36, advanced in years. Now 84 does not seem to some of us, perhaps, to be advanced in years, especially when a number of us are in our 90s. But 105? No one of our number is that advanced in years. That's old. in this way of thinking. Think of that, though, regardless. Think of the long wait Anna had. Now, children, when your parents take you in the car to a special place, maybe you get impatient and maybe you ask, are we there yet? Or how long until we get there? Or think about, you know, when you want to open a gift or something in the evening, you wait till nightfall, and that's a long time to wait. Think of waiting for graduation, for you who are young people, those who are engaged, waiting for the wedding. It seemed like a long time. But think of Anna. 84 years. Spending much of that time fasting and praying. 84 years. That's a long wait. God told Anna, though, about the Messiah. And she lived long in the temple until the Messiah came. Now, was that a wasted life? Did Anna waste her 84 or more years? Now, many today would think that. Spent it in the house of God, night and day, fasting and praying for years and years. What a waste! No, it was not wasted. This passage shows the piety of Anna and her fulfilling the role, the calling God gave her for the good of the church. The church needed Anna, a prophetess, to spend these 84 or so years for the Messiah, fasting and praying in the temple, telling them about the Messiah to come. It was a long wait, but the Redeemer reveals himself to patient saints, both the patient saints like Anna and to the patient saints who supported Anna in her serving as a prophetess. Those patient saints who were looking forward, waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. That was no waste. Now, although Anna was an individual longing for the Christ, she was also a prophetess in Israel. And as with Simeon, so with Anna, she can be understood as a pointer, not only as an individual, yes, but also as a picture of the Old Covenant church. The Old Covenant, too, was advanced in years. For many years, the Old Covenant church served God, and while many were faithless, there was always preserved by God a faithful remnant that waited patiently for the prophecies to be fulfilled, for the Messiah to come, and that time is now. It was a long wait, but it is over. The Redeemer reveals himself to patient saints. Anna and the Old Covenant church, the remnant, waited for the Messiah. You know what? So do we. We wait for his return. And we confess, as the Bible teaches, Jesus left this earth. He ascended into heaven, but he will come back. He will return to this earth bodily. Now, it's been a little under 2,000 years since he left this earth, having promised he will return. Is this a waste of our time, of your time? Are your efforts wasted waiting for the second coming of the Messiah? Now, many in our world think so. They scoff. They don't see the value in a whole group of people expecting the second coming, taking an hour and a half, 2 hours in the Sunday morning, again in the evening, to come and gather to hear, spending time around the dinner table and in private devotions, reading God's word, praying. They scoff at that. Why, you could be having fun. Why don't you sleep in? Why don't you go fishing? Why don't you go hunting? Why do you give money to the church for the spread of the gospel when, boy, you could spend it on a great vacation? Add it up, look at it. Why do you waste your life, we're told? Maybe not so clearly, though sometimes, but certainly that message is there. They don't value this because they don't believe. They don't believe in a Redeemer, in the need of a Redeemer, that he has come, that he will come. But he has and he will. The Redeemer reveals himself to patient saints. 2,000 years, that's a long time. But we wait. And we might have to wait another 2,000 years, 10,000 years maybe, maybe even a few hours instead. The children, you might be alive when Jesus comes again. Wouldn't that be wonderful? He will come. We don't know when, but he will. Therefore, wait. Wait patiently. And yet, while we need to wait for the bodily return of Jesus, he reveals himself to us even now. Not with the eyes of flesh, the eyes of the body, as will happen on the last day when he bodily returns, but with the eyes of faith. Every Sunday, Jesus reveals himself to us in the preaching of his word, in the sacraments. He reveals himself to us by the operation of the Holy Spirit through faith, taking the glories of the age to come, bringing them to you and me here and now. While we might have to wait a long time before Christ comes again openly, bodily, revealing himself in glory, we do not have to wait long to encounter our Redeemer. 7 days at most, week by week, and throughout the week, in prayer, in Bible reading, through faith, trust him. These weekly times of revelation, they sustain us until that day when Christ will return to earth bodily. And by these, especially these weekly services, a longing for Christ is kindled and kept burning. And we move to that in our second point, longingly waiting, longingly waiting, the second part of verse 37. We read there, Anna did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. Her longing is evident. It's right there. She never left the temple. She worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Now, you might be surprised to read that because we're told she was of the tribe of Asher. Asher was one of the 10 tribes that separated from the worship in Jerusalem. Remember, children and young people, after Solomon died, you had the kingdom divide between the north and the south, Rehoboam, Jeroboam, 10 tribes, 2 tribes. Well, the temple was down here. But Asher was one of those tribes that separated from that temple worship, that separated and had the golden calves at Dan and Bethel. Well, here we see a restoration of those tribes to worship the true God truly. One of their number, one from Asher, not only abides in the temple, but is a prophetess for the only true God. She longingly waits for the Messiah to come. She never left the temple. Now, perhaps there was a booth in which she slept, or perhaps Luke states this as a bit of hyperbole, like the men's society has been seen as we go through how the Lord presents certain things in the Bible. Regardless, she spent a lot of time in the temple. Her eyes would be drawn to God's promise of grace. In fact, that's what Anna means, grace. She spent so much time near the means of grace. And then when the fulfillment came, by God's grace, she recognized him. She praised God. Congregation, are you able to recognize God's grace? Do you long for the grace of God? Has God opened your eyes by his spirit of prophecy? Not to make you a prophet in the sense that Anna was a prophet, but to understand the prophecy contained in the Bible about Jesus. The prophecy that here is the Savior of the world. Jesus is he. Here is salvation. He is the Son of God. Anna longed for the coming of the Messiah. She never left the place of worship where she was pointed to him. Well, we have the coming of the Messiah told us in the Bible, found in our homes, preached from this pulpit. Now, as we think of Anna never departing from the temple, now it's possible she would remain there but not perform worthy service. Think of those who were told in the gospel accounts sold animals and exchanged money in the temple. Well, no doubt they longed to stay long in the temple courts, not for pious reasons, but to make a lot of money in an unlawful, ungodly way. The longer they would stay in the temple courts, the more money they could make, the more their God would bless them. But not with Anna. She worshipped night and day. She never left the temple, so she would never leave the worship of God. She longed for God. She worshiped night and day, praying while the ceremonies would be performed. Think of what this all could involve. When the priest slew a bull and sprinkled its blood against the altar, she was there. And she could pray for the coming of the one by whose wounds we are healed. When the priests would place new showbread on the table in the temple structure, she could be praying that the bread of life would come. When the priests would slay Passover lamb, Anna could pray for the true Lamb of God to come, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. She worshiped night and day, not only during the formal ceremonies, but she worshiped all the time. When worshipers would begin to arrive and prepare for their worship, Anna could be praying that all the saints of God would be gathered together under one head. As worshipers would leave, having fulfilled their duties, she could be praying for the one who would perform our duties so we would never have to leave God's presence and never have to come with animal sacrifices. When the temple courts would be empty late at night and the stars would shine above, Anna could pray for the one who would bring the glory of God to banish night forever. Now, how can we suppose she would pray for these things? She was a prophetess, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. No doubt her life in the temple would be bathed in prayer. It was not wasted. It was not wasted in the long wait. Her wait was filled with longing. Longing for the Messiah to come and redeem her, redeem Jerusalem. And while she was in the temple, worshiping night and day, she worshiped with fasting and prayer. Now, children, fasting, it's when you stop eating food and drink for a time. Why would someone do that? Well, not to lose weight, but so one wouldn't be distracted. Distracted by pleasures of life, yes, but even things that eventually are necessary for life, food and drink. Not be distracted in order to focus on the pleasure that comes from the God who gives eternal life. Fasting demonstrates that we are not bound to the things of this earth, but we realize that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Fasting is done by those whose God is not their belly. Fasting is done by those who long to be filled, not with earthly bread after which we grow hungry again, but long for the bread of God, the bread of life, who satisfies our deepest longing. Fasting casts off the allure of this world, seeking that world that is to come. And just as Anna remained in widowhood, seeking to please only the Lord rather than getting married and pleasing her husband, so she seeks her joy in the Lord rather than in other joys of this life, in food and drink. She waits longingly for the Messiah to come, not wanting to be distracted by the pleasures of this world, even lawful ones. So instead, she would be very attuned and be filled with the joy of the Messiah. And along with fasting, Anna prayed. And prayer is when we talk to God. We plead His promises. We ask for grace. We ask for His Spirit. We, at that time, asking that the Messiah would come, that God would be glorified. Now, as a prophetess, Anna would speak openly to people of the Messiah who was to come. In prayer, though, she speaks to the Lord to fulfill His promise, to send the Messiah. Fasting showed her yearning. Praying shows her turning that yearning into petitions to God. Yes, she longed for the Redeemer to be revealed. And as we find out, the Redeemer revealed Himself to her, to this patient saint. And Anna's longing was the longing of the Old Covenant Church, the remnant, longing for the coming of the Messiah. It's a longing that we read of in Psalm 37, a longing that's fulfilled by the Lord. Psalm 37 addresses many holy longings, holy desires. What greater desire than that the Redeemer come? As we read, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. The meek shall inherit the land, and delight themselves in abundant peace. We are to read that psalm and all psalms again, with an eye to their fulfillment in Christ. The Old Covenant Church, the remnant, delighted in the Lord. They committed their way to the Lord. They trusted in the Lord, and God satisfied. Here at last is the fulfillment, the Christ. Here at last is the satisfying of their greatest longing, the Messiah. The Redeemer reveals himself to patient saints. And this isn't just for Anna and the Old Covenant saints. Again, it's for you and me as well, because Jesus is coming again. And God has given you and me tasks to perform until he sends Jesus back. And he's placed us in a wonderful world that is his. But are you too caught up in tasks in this wonderful world? Or do you longing for it to be renewed? Are you longing for the return of Christ? Even if it means young people, young adults, you don't get married. You might not have children. Or you might not see grandchildren. Have you grown so comfortable with your life now that you aren't longing for Jesus to come and end our existence as we know it, ushering in, though, such glory as eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man? Brothers and sisters, do you long for Christ to come back and reveal his glory? If so, and I hope you do, how does that show up in your life? Now, does that mean each of us is to be like Anna, never leaving the house of God? Well, that's changed since Anna's time, the house of God. But being in prayer night and day, fasting continually? Well, we are to pray continually. We are told that. But not in the same way of Anna. Anna was a prophetess, a special calling from God. It no longer exists in that way. But we share in part of that office, as we said. We are to have our hearts set upon the world to come, laboring in this world for God's glory, so that our works in this world will not be in vain, but will have eternal value, as the Apostle Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 15. We are to live not grasping and holding tightly the things of this life, of this world, but living every day as if it were our last, and we have to let go of them. In faithful reliance upon God, living for his glory as responsible stewards of his gifts. All of us say that we're looking forward to the second coming of Christ. Then not only, though, will Christ be revealed, though, in the second coming, but again, he reveals himself in our experience today. Preaching and the sacraments. Preaching is when Jesus talks to us. Do you long to hear the voice of Christ? That's one reason why the elders emphasize in worship the preaching of the Word of God. Because we long to hear the preaching. We long to hear Christ speak to us through his ordained servant proclaiming the Word of God. We, like Mary so many years ago, want to sit at Jesus' feet and hear him. We, like Anna so many years ago, long to worship in God's house, long to hear the Messiah, to encounter him. And we do by faith. The Redeemer reveals himself to patient saints. He will reveal himself in the second coming, but even before, he reveals himself in the preaching of the word, in the sacraments. We have his word in our own homes. For those who long for his revelation on Sunday and on that final day, well, there is a fulfillment. It is a worthwhile wait. And that's what we move to in our third point, verse 38, a worthwhile wait. Now, Anna's 84-year wait, it's over. Her prayers have been answered. Her prophecies are fulfilled. After Simeon takes the Christ child in his arms and praises God, Anna comes also. She comes up to Joseph and Mary. She has received this further word from God, and she proclaims it openly to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, here in this child. Here in the one who was taken by his parents according to the law of Moses to be redeemed, will himself redeem. The redeemed has become the Redeemer. That's really who he is. Now, children, when we read that Jesus redeems Jerusalem, it's not that he purchased the city with money, buying earthly property. We mean the same thing as when we say Jesus redeemed us, those who belong to him, those who believe in him. He paid spiritually what we owe so that we are released from obligation. That is, because of our sin, every sinner is under God's wrath. We all have that debt to God's justice. And Jesus paid it. God's justice demanded punishment because we broke God's law. Jesus fully paid our debt to God on the cross when he offered his sinless, perfect life in the place of sinners. The death of the Son of God, the Messiah, has satisfied God's justice against us because of our sin. He redeemed us. He bought us back from destruction. He redeemed Jerusalem, standing for the people of God. The Redeemer reveals himself to patient saints, and that wait, it's worthwhile. He paid for our sins, believers. He redeemed us. Now, we don't fully yet experience that redemption because we still live with the effects of sin. But when he comes a second time, he will complete it. Not that he has more to pay. He did that fully on the cross. He said, "It is finished." But the redemption to come is yet the final exchange of the fullness of his blessedness for our weakness, when our bodies will be transformed and raised imperishable, and we will be glorified. Wait until Christ's second coming, no matter how long. It will be worth it. For the blessedness he brings will surpass all expectations, surpass certainly what we deserve. It will be glorious. The heavens and the earth, they will be purged of all that is sinful, all that is decaying. By his almighty resurrection power, God through Christ will make all things new, and we will dwell with him forever in glory. The Redeemer reveals himself to patient saints, and it is a worthwhile wait. You will not be disappointed that you have taken time every week, morning and evening, to hear Christ speak through the preacher. For on that day, you will hear his voice with your own ears. You will not be disappointed that you have taken time to pray throughout the week. For on that day, you will have your prayers fully answered. You will not be disappointed that by God's grace, you stored up treasures in heaven rather than pursuing the American dream here below. For on that day, you will receive your gracious reward from Jesus himself. It is worth the wait. Until that, we have a foretaste of that eternal blessedness in this time of worship, especially, but also in our own times of worship at home. It's worth the wait. Brothers and sisters, Jesus reveals himself to us now through the preaching, through the sacraments, through private Bible reading. Since that's the case, we need to ask, how do we respond to Jesus revealing himself now, encountering us? Now, children, when someone's talking to you, and you're talking to them, if you would talk to me, you're really excited to talk to your dad or mom, and you start to, and they suddenly turn away, and they talk to someone else. Or you're trying to talk, and they go, what was that? Obviously, you're like, they're not listening to me. That's please, listen to me, dad, mom, whoever, be attentive. So too in our listening to Christ, to be attentive, to desire to hear the preaching of the gospel, to desire to read God's word in our homes. Listen and believe, for the Redeemer reveals himself to patient saints. This comes to us then, there's a warning for us and for us all. It is a great privilege to grow up under the preaching of the word. But if our children despise that preaching, if they slight it by zoning out, if we don't put it into practice, that's a danger. Fathers, you're particularly responsible to model listening, reading to your children, as well as to hold them accountable for their age, to train them, pray for them. Long for the preaching of the gospel. Long to read the word of God yourself. Attend diligently to it and live it out. By God's grace, believe. For the Redeemer reveals himself to patient saints. That wait is worthwhile. Now think of that. What a blessing is ours. That God brings us righteousness and peace and joy and empowers us to live in this world of sin and anxiety and despair and hopelessness. You don't need to worry or fret, as we read in Psalm 37. Fret not, Fret not when evil men exalt themselves. In bringing you these glories, in revealing himself to you, you are equipped to live in this world as one who belongs to the world to come, as one to whom the Redeemer has revealed himself, as one who is redeemed. Your longing will be fulfilled. By God's grace, let us long for Jesus to reveal himself to us in the preaching and on that day. Let us read the word. Let us listen to it preached. Let us trust him. He reveals himself. And in that revelation, through faith, we are equipped, we are comforted, we are blessed, and we can rejoice. And we can speak of him to all those around us too. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing is ours. You have given us your Son, salvation in him, righteousness, eternal life, and we long for the day when you will send him back. We'll have the fullness of this. Send him back. But Lord, we also confess our faith is weak, and we are distracted, certainly by sin, but even by good things, things that are lawful to distract it. Oh Lord, forgive us. Keep us focused on you, on Christ, longing for his word, to hear him. Work that faith, increase that faith within us, and may we tell others and point them to the glorious Savior, our glorious Redeemer. Lord, give us patience, give us joy, and may you receive all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.